Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
I want you to go to Joshua, the first chapter, and we're going to look at a few verses from Joshua 1, and then we're going to go to Joshua 3 to grab a few verses to set up where we're going today. But I love the book of Joshua because in 1998, I got a word from Joshua, the first chapter, that changed my life forever. How many of you understand one word from God can change your life forever? The Bible says that his word is powerful. The Bible says that his word will not return void, but it will prosper wherever it is sent. And my prayer today is that God would place a word in your life that would inspire you to become the person that he's called you to be so that you can do what God's called you to do. How many of you understand God's got something for you? There's a purpose for you. And I want to say this at the very beginning, there are no accidents in this room. Some people feel like, well, my life was just an accident. My parents had an oops moment, and here I am. And I want you to understand it may have been an accident in their mind, but God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He has a purpose and a destiny and a call for your life. You are valuable. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are valuable. I feel good. So Joshua, the first chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place, somebody say every place. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. That's the verse that changed my life forever. In 1998, I was sitting in a classroom with 15 teenagers, and our youth pastor read that passage, and he said, this city belongs to Jesus, and he has placed us here to take it. And he said, everywhere that we step our foot, we're going to take territory for Jesus Christ. And something within inside of us, even though we were young, a switch flipped, and we realized that our life's mission was to reach our world for Jesus Christ. And within about a year's time, we went from 15 teenagers to 1,000 teenagers. Why? Because we took God's word as our own. You want to see God's word start coming to life? And you start taking it, making it your own. I want you to understand that we are called to this place to take this territory for Jesus Christ. Activation Church is not just going to be a Sunday morning gathering where we come together and sing a few songs and listen to a sermon. We are going to be a people who are activated and move out into our world and reach them. We're going to be a people that connect people to Jesus Christ and the purpose and the destiny that he has for him. Every place our footsteps, that's the land that God's given it. And I just need a few people that say, I'm going to go with you. See, it's not enough for me to have a great vision. We have to have a people that come around that vision and say, I'm all in. And more than just saying I'm all in, they live all in. There's a story in Scripture with Jonathan and his armor bearer, and he's going in, he's going to take some territory, and he said, I just want to go see if God will give us this victory over this army. And his armor bearer said, I am with you, heart and soul. Can I tell you what a pastor needs? A pastor needs people that say, I'm with you, heart and soul. And like I said, not just lip service, but I'm actually here to be a part of the mission that God has called us to be a part of. Amen? So every place, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised Moses. I've got a place for you, but you got to go take it. I need you to understand there are things that God has prepared for you, but it is your responsibility to step out and take it. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. They'll try. People will try to stop you. People will try to back you down. But no one's going to be able to come against you because greater is he. Come on, somebody. Greater is he who is within you than he that is within the world. So opposition may come, but you're going through the opposition. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going through. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. What's the law? It's God's instruction. He's saying, be careful to follow the instructions. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then, somebody say, for then. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want you to notice, you make your way prosperous. God gives you the ability to prosper, but it is through following his instruction that you actually lead yourself into that prosperity. Does that make sense? He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua 3, there's four verses I want to snag, and then we're going to jump right into it. The Bible says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. That's a verse right there that you don't want to stutter on as a preacher. Every time I make it through that, I just want to celebrate. Can we just celebrate the fact that I made it through that without any stumbles? I won't say it again, because I made it through in the first service too. So they rose early and they came to this place. Then they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Can I just say this real quick? If you don't have a sense of humor, you're going to hate this church. And I get that I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but if you like to have a good time, you're in the right place. Turn to the person next to you. If you like to party, you're in the right place. So they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, this is important, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. In other words, don't move out on your own. You need to stay with the people of God who are following the presence of God, because that's going to take you into the blessing of God. Stay with the people of God who are following the instruction of God, because that will lead you into the blessing of God. I want to say that again. Stay with the people of God who are following the instruction of God, because that will lead you into the blessing of God. He says, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Follow my presence, because I'm taking you somewhere you've never been before. Would you just turn to the person next to you and say, God's taking us somewhere we've never been before. You got to say it like you mean it. God's taking us somewhere we've never been before. So one of my greatest fears as a communicator is the fear of not having anything to say. It's something that I have to wrestle through every week. When you pray and you study, it's always nice when Wednesday you get a word from God that you can kind of marinate on for the rest of the week, but it's an immense amount of pressure when it's Saturday night and you still don't have nothing to say. And then it gets so late, you're like, well, I just got to go to bed. And then Sunday morning, you wake up still not having anything to say. But what it's done is it's actually taught me how to trust God and understand that he's faithful. And even if I don't feel like I have anything to say, every time I've stepped up, God has moved and spoke. But it's still something in my natural self, because how many of you know I'm a human being? I mean, I put my legs on one at a time, just like you. Difference is, when I get them on, I make gold records. But it's just a natural response. You know, you're worried, like, what am I going to say? But the other fear that you have to have is forgetting what you're trying to say while you're trying to say it. Has that ever happened to you? Like, you're mid-sentence and your mind just goes blank, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Well, imagine that happening when you're standing up in front of an audience trying to take them somewhere. It is a terrible feeling. It happened to me years ago. I was the children's pastor at a church, and we were putting on this production. And at the end of the service, the pastor said, you need to address the audience. Well, I was not prepared to address the audience. And so I'm just having to wing it, and I'm saying all this stuff. And as I'm talking, my mind goes blank, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And all I wanted to do was pull that move from Coming to America where he puts the microphone out and goes, sex with chocolate, and drops the microphone. Like, that's all that was going through my mind is drop this microphone and get out of here now. It was a terrible feeling. For me, and I don't know if it's like this for all communicators, but for me, it's like doing mental gymnastics. It's very difficult to stay focused on what you're trying to say. You've got a lot of thoughts hitting you at once, and you're trying to stay focused. And then on top of that, you don't know what kind of distraction is going to happen in the room. I mean, a baby could scream and cry. My dad was preaching one time on a Wednesday night, and a man died in the service. I mean, that's a distraction. Thank God he got back there and prayed for him. The guy actually came back to life. That's a miracle. A few weeks ago, I was preaching, and a computer fell. And everybody's eyes went boom. And I've got to be able to stay focused even through all those distractions, because how many of you know distractions will happen? One time at our church, I don't know if, Jim, you may have been there, but years ago, a guy came in dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss. Let me promise you, nothing will take your thought like a man walking into a church service dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss. You've got to remain incredibly focused, because if not, it will destroy your thought. So what I've learned to do is, while I'm preparing, I will prepare a portion of my talk in a room that's filled with distraction. Because what I've learned to do is I've learned to overcome and avoid the noise. I can't stop the noise. I can't control what's going to happen in here today, but I can learn how to move beyond it. And that's important, because you need to know you cannot control what happens around you. But you can control your focus. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can control your focus. And that's really, really important, because your life will flow in the direction of your greatest focus. If you don't hear anything else this morning, please hear that statement. Your life will flow in the direction of your greatest focus. What that means is, if you are focused on the right things, your life will flow in the right direction. But if you get distracted and shift your attention to the wrong thing, then your life's going to flow in the wrong direction. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, it's become a very popular passage that everyone can quote, and it's a part of his Sermon on the Mount. And right before he gets to Matthew 6:33, he's talking about your life, and he's saying, don't worry about your life. That's really tough, isn't it? Because how many of you know, like, your mind naturally gets caught up in everything that you're doing and everything that you have to do. But Jesus is like, listen, don't worry about your life. Don't get caught up looking at the wrong thing. Then he says this, Matthew 6:33, but seek first. Somebody say first. He says, don't worry about life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. In other words, if you can get your focus in the right direction, the things you need will actually follow you instead of you having to try to chase it. Deuteronomy 28:2, the Bible says, if you'll follow the instruction of the Lord, then the blessing of God will actually chase you down and overtake it. The reason so many of us operate in worry and anxiety is because we're trying to chase after things that God said will actually flow into your life if you'll get your focus fixed in the right direction. Seek first. Somebody say, seek first. Seek first. Now, if Jesus is saying that seeking his kingdom and his way of doing things and following his instructions should be your number one priority, then how many of you know that the devil's number one priority is going to be to distract you? And here's what you need to understand. He does not have to destroy your life. All he has to do is distract you, and you'll destroy your own life. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about relationships. The devil doesn't have to destroy your relationship. All he has to do is distract you, and you'll destroy your own relationship. All through Scripture, you will see people who get distracted and end their life in devastation. The very first story of Scripture is God creating the heavens and the earth and putting man and woman in this perfect environment. Guess what happens when they're in this environment? The devil shows up. And what does the devil do? He distracts them. He doesn't shove the fruit down their throat. All he does is distract them and get them to look at it. And because they got distracted, their life was devastated. The reason I'm mentioning that to you is because the people of Israel in the book of Joshua that we just read, they are standing at the Jordan River. Instead of the land that God has promised to them, because the previous generation got distracted. God said, I've got a promise for you. I've got some land for you. It's a good place. You're going to live a blessed life. But when they go in to spy out the land, instead of seeing the good things that God has for them, they get distracted by the enemy that's standing in front of them. And what happens is, instead of following God's instruction to go out and take the place that he said they could have, they start following their feelings. And how many of you understand, when you leave God's instruction to follow your feelings, good things don't happen? People always say, like, well, just follow your heart. Not biblically. The Bible says your heart is wicked. Don't follow your heart, follow God's instruction. Why? Because it is God's instruction that will take you into the blessing. That's why God is telling Joshua, now you're at the bank of the Jordan. It's been 40 years since your ancestors got distracted and missed out on the promise. This time it can be different for you, Joshua. It can be different for Israel. But here's the key. You've got to meditate on my word. Don't follow your feelings. How many of you know God will ask you to do things that you don't feel like doing sometimes? Love your enemy. Don't feel like it. Forgive those who do you wrong. Don't feel like it. Be a functioning member of the church. Serve in the local church. Don't feel like it. Be a giver. God is generous. Reflect his generous nature by you being generous. Don't feel like it. But remember, your feelings don't lead you into the blessing that God has for you. It's following his instruction. So he says, meditate on my word. What does that mean? Fill yourself with my word. Do this day and night. Why? So that you will be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Follow my instructions. It's very important. It is a key. Follow the instruction of the Lord because it will lead you into the blessing of the Lord. But he doesn't just stop at following my instructions. He says you need to follow my presence. You've got to stay close to my spirit because I'm taking you somewhere you've never been before and you won't be able to get yourself there on your own. That's what you need to understand about the things that God is taking you into are things too great for your natural imagination. The Bible says, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what's not even entered into the imagination of man, the things God has prepared for them. Prepared ends with an ED. That means he's already made it for you. God's not in heaven trying to figure things out. He's already prepared some things for you that he's waiting for you to step into. The problem is your natural mind will never get you there. So he says, follow my spirit. Verse 10 of that same verse, it says, these things, what things? The things he has prepared, the spirit will reveal to you. See, the Spirit will start giving you a vision for your life and where God wants to take you. So you can't get distracted from his instruction. You can't get distracted from his presence because both are key to getting you to where you need to be. You know what I love about this church? I love that this is a Spirit-led church. And I would love to say that that's how all churches are, but sadly, that's not true. And here's why. Because some churches have replaced the presence of God for their stage presence. They've replaced the Spirit of God for their systems. In other words, they know if they get up and give a good presentation, they got enough charisma, they can draw a crowd. And there are a lot of places that have big crowds because they're doing everything right and they're following all the systems. The problem is where there is no spirit, there will be no true life. Where there is no spirit, there will be no true transformation. And when things start breaking down in your life, my systems and my charisma cannot fix it. Only the Spirit of God can fix it. You need to be in a life-giving, Spirit-filled church because it makes all the difference when life starts crashing in on you. You need to know that you are serving a living God who will move on your behalf. And we've seen God do it so many times recently where people are in a crisis and God turns it around for them. Why? Because of my charisma? No. Because we got all these systems? No. Because the Spirit of God is moving. Now, I'm all for, like, putting your best foot forward. I'm all for having systems. Those things are important. But the most important thing is that we're following His Spirit and staying connected to His Word. Because here's the thing. He wants to distract you so He can dislocate you. He wants to distract you so He can dislocate you. Years ago, we were swinging my little brother by his arms and legs. And as we were doing it, both of his arms came out of socket. They were dislocated. And not only was he in excruciating pain, but he was rendered useless. He couldn't do anything with his arms. He had to go to the doctor. They had to put them back in place for him to be able to function properly. The reason I mention that to you is because the Bible says that the church is a body. We're all members of it, but if we become dislocated from the body, then we become ineffective as a member. We can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a part of the body, but if you're not connected, then the nutrients and the life that is flowing from the head, which is Jesus Christ, through the body, isn't going to connect to you, and you're not going to connect to your purpose. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. When we are together, we are growing and developing and being equipped to become the people that God has called us to be. Please understand, there is more to this life than just working a 9-to-5 and trying to set up a retirement. We are here on a mission from God to change our world, and that only happens when we are connected together. I read it a few weeks ago, but the book of Ephesians, it says that Jesus has given the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. For what purpose? To equip the saints. That means you. To equip you for your work of the ministry. See, ministry is not just what I'm doing. Ministry is what we are doing. And let me tell you something. If we ever grasp hold of this, we will see a city change. When we leave this place and move on mission, we will see a city change. That's what happened when I was a teenager. We changed a city because we started moving on mission. Going to school was not just about getting an education for me. When I went to high school, that was my field. I was inviting people nonstop. There was one night I brought 30 friends to church with me. Why? Because that was the most important thing in my life, is connecting people to Jesus. And when you start functioning in your purpose and you are connected to the body, you receive the nutrients that leads to the blessing. What does it mean to be connected? Like, you're actually a part. You know, I read this morning that the average church person only attends Sunday service once a month. So if you attend more than once a month, you are above average. I just want to say thank you. I see a lot of above average people. Like, I want to break all the things when it comes to our church. But the majority of Christians, they said, seldom attend church, if at all. What happened? They got dislocated. And the enemy will do all kinds of things to dislocate us. He'll cause offense. Maybe some of you have experienced that before. Like, you were a part of a church and somebody started a rumor that affected your life, or maybe somebody gave you the side eye in a wrong way that bothered you, and what happened was it caused you to dislocate understand when those things happen, it's the enemy. And we've got to grow and mature beyond those places in life and understand that, Hannah, you're a human being, I'm a human being. It's possible that we're going to upset each other. But I've got to look beyond that offense and say, you know what? She's my sister in Christ. I'm her brother in Christ. God has joined us together and put us together to be better, because we can always accomplish more together than we can separately. See, God has placed me here to reach this city, but it's not just me, it's we. It's us working together, and we've got to stay connected to that, because not only does life flow through your connection, but safety comes through the connection. The Bible says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what he's looking for, Martin? He's looking for someone who's become dislocated. Because if you become dislocated, you're rendered useless. You're a sitting duck, easy to pick off. So don't get distracted. Don't allow yourself to become dislocated. And the third thing I want to say is don't get discouraged. And can I tell you, this is the one I've had to wrestle with the most in my life? I'm a pretty focused individual. Once God sets something in my mind, I stay pretty close to it. The devil can't dislocate me because I understand the value of the church and I've experienced the value of the church. Even if I was not pastoring, I would be a part of a church serving and giving. You understand what I'm saying? 100%, I would be a part of a church, I would be serving, and I would be giving, because I understand the power of my connection to the body. So he doesn't mess with me there, but where he will get to me many times is discouraging me. I don't know if you've ever been there before where it's like you feel like you're finally getting your head above water and then you just shove right back down. Or you feel like you're getting a little bit of momentum, you're moving in the right direction and the wind gets knocked out of your sails. That's the kind of stuff that I've had to deal with in my life, and especially in ministry, like things will start going great at church and then something will come in that will try to discourage me. This morning when I was praying and getting ready for service, God began to expand my vision for the church and the things that we are going to accomplish together. And as I was sitting there and I was mapping it out on paper and I was writing it down, because the Bible teaches you should write down the vision, make it plain, because it gives you something to stare at, you know. And so I'm doing all this, and immediately as I'm reflecting on what God put in my spirit, here comes the voice of discouragement. How are you going to do that? How are you going to accomplish that? And I had to shut it down immediately and say, if God's for me, I'm going after it. Amen. You know, Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9, this is a passage that I will say over and over again because I really want it to settle in your heart, but he says, do not get weary in well-doing. For in due season. Let's stop there. That means there is a season for things to spring up in your life. There is a season for things to happen in your life. He says, don't get weary in the process of doing good, because there's a due season. And it says, you will reap if you don't give up. See, the enemy knows that. He knows that God has a promise for your life. And so what he's going to do is he's going to try to get you to give up on the way there. Sadly, it works for most. Can I just be honest with you? Sadly, many people fall prey to discouragement, and they stop short of their miracle. They stop short of their breakthrough because they get tired, they get discouraged, and they give up. There's a story of a woman named Florence Chadwick. She was going to swim from the California coast to the Catalina Islands. It was actually vice versa. She's going to swim from Catalina Island to California coast. 26-mile swim. That's a huge swim. She gets out. She's been training for years. She gets out there. She starts swimming. And she gets several hours into her swim when a dense fog rolls in over the ocean and she can't see. She becomes disoriented. She starts getting tired. And she becomes discouraged. There were these boats floating around her that were there for safety. And she got so discouraged that she tapped out and gave up, and they got her into the boat. And they said, what happened? She said, I couldn't see, I got disoriented, I got tired, and I gave up. And they said, you were 1 mile from the shore. Think about that. all this effort, all this work, all this time, and she stops short 1 mile from her promise. So a little time goes on, and she decides she's going to do it again. She gets out there, she starts swimming. Several hours into her swim, the same dense fog settles in over the ocean. She can't see. She's disoriented. But this time she kept on swimming. And she made it all the way to the shore. And when they got there, they asked her what was different about this time. And she said, "This time I kept a picture of the shore in my heart." See, that's why God said, meditate on my word day and night. Keep a picture of what I'm saying about you and for you in your heart, because life's going to get foggy. And if you don't have something to stare at, then you're going to get disoriented, you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to stop. And some of you have stopped 1 mile short. And today I'm telling you, keep on going, keep on moving, keep on pressing. Do not get discouraged. God is with you. He does have something for your life. And if you'll keep on pressing, you're going to step into it. And part of that process of not getting discouraged is this: don't disremember. It's the final thing I'm going to say to you. Don't disremember. What does that mean? Don't fail to remember what God has already done. As Joshua and Israel are getting ready to cross the Jordan, God tells them, as you go through, I want you to pick up some stones. Grab 12 of them, one for every tribe of Israel. And when you get to the other side, I want you to set up these stones, and it's going to be a memorial. It's going to be a place of remembrance, so that when future generations come to this spot, they're going to see those stones and remember how I moved on your behalf. They're going to remember how I split the Jordan River. They're going to remember how I brought them out of Egypt. They're going to remember how I made a way where there seemed to be no way. And you're going to need that, because there's going to be some more enemies out there. There's going to be some more battles out there. There's going to be some more opposition out there. There's going to be more opportunities to get discouraged. And you need something to look at and remember that if I did it then, I'll do it again. Some of you need to start writing down what God does for you so that you can go back and look at it and say, if he did it then, he'll do it again. Do you know how many times that has saved me in my life? When I get into a situation where I don't know how I'm going to make it through, and I'm crying out to God, and I'll remember, he did it then. He'll do it again. My life is in his hands. He knows what's up. He is in control. He is working all things together for my good. I may have to walk through the pain, but I'm going to keep on moving. I'm not going to camp out. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? I'm not going to live life in want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. What does it mean for him to be your shepherd? It means you're following his instruction. You hear his voice and follow his voice and not your feelings. And because of that, he's leading you into a place where there is no lack. I don't lack joy. I don't lack peace. I don't lack strength. I don't lack favor. I don't lack resources. Everything that I need, he's made available to me because I am following his instruction and not my feelings. Do you want to see your life turn around? Start following his instruction over your feelings. God, if your word says it, I'm going to do it. I may not understand it, but the Bible says that we should trust him. It says, trust the Lord. And then it says, lean not on your own understanding. I mean, don't try to figure it out. If God says do it, just do it. And when you start living that way, you'll start seeing him open up doors. You'll start seeing things change. It's not easy to do, but it's something you've got to lean into. Last week when I preached at that church, it's a fairly new church. And whenever a church starts up, it's hard to get the momentum. And here's why it's hard to get the momentum. It's not because pastors lack vision. It's because they lack people and they lack resources. So I was trying to encourage them, help them get the ball rolling. And our church has been able to financially help this church get the ball rolling. And when I got done speaking, He was going to give me my honorarium. And I felt like God said, give it back to the church. I was like, are you sure, God? I could really use it right now. But you know why I did that? As uncomfortable as it was, as much as I didn't feel like doing it in the moment, I told him, I said, I want you to take the honorarium. I said, you use it for whatever your church needs. Here's why I did that, though, because I know that when you follow God's instruction, it will lead you into blessing. I believe that that was a seed that will change this church's life. See, God will bless me, and he will bless our church for the obedience of doing what he said. That's on the corporate level. What about on an individual level? What will God do in your life? What will God turn around in your life when you connect to his purpose, stay close to his presence, and follow his instruction? Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.